Would you like to know more? Would you like to know more?
Welcome to Almost a Podcast, episode 156, with John from Cromarty Forge and somebody there with a beard, Paul or something.
Oh, hello.
Hiding, skulking in the shadows like a good little cheese-eating rat.
That's right.
Can you not afford the electric fee to put a light on in your house?
The lights are on, Barry, just you are blind.
we'll try and be nice.
Mm-hmm. We got a guest. We got to, you know, Mum and Dad have to get on. So today, lovely listeners, we have John from Cromarty Forge, who's going to talk about his upcoming new Kickstarter, of which Barry has printed copies, I have physical copies, and John is going to talk and sell his product to us. Long-term listeners of the podcast will have heard of John before, and yeah, but I don't want to steal his thunder. It's obviously, take it away, John. Explain what it is you're here upselling.
Okay.
He's not on the perfume counter at John Lewis.
Shut up. Right.
I'm selling.
Try a waft of APEP and see how it feels. Yeah.
Fruits of the forest.
Yeah. Lizardmen for everyone. So for the last, it feels like forever, the last 4 or 5 months, I've been working with Paul Yates in Canada to design and sculpt a range of lizardmen for 10 millimeter and 15 millimeter. And they're called the Children of Apep. Apep is the Egyptian god of chaos, who happens to be serpent-headed. And that's sort of rather nabbed.
Very good, very clever, yeah.
I double-checked that no one had used it. It's not the name of any strange cults or anything, as far as I'm aware. Yeah, please, if this episode goes out and someone finds out that it is something really dodgy, please let me know ASAP, so I can change. It's a Kickstarter. It starts on the 25th of February, which is, as far as we're sitting, it's next Thursday.
Yes, it is.
And it will be running for 3 weeks until the middle of March.
Fantastic.
Good number, 3 weeks. Mm.
It's a bit of a sort of a step out for me, because up until now, everything I've done has been solid miniatures only on my Kickstarters. So I did a dwarf army, which was in STLs for home printing.
A lot of love for that dwarf army, by the way, John. There's a lot of love for that.
Thank you very
much. So people message me separately from Barry, because I'm obviously the one that talks. They love that range. Yeah, like, so you hit the nail on the head with that one.
So thank you very much. It has gone down well. I mean, I got some feedback on it. There's actually that's for another. This, we can talk about that. But there's a range of additions I'm going to be making to the dwarfs in the near future.
Fantastic.
But because that went quite well, and people the world is shifting in terms of 3D printing. And people doing their own thing at homes. I decided that for the Children of Apep, I was going to make it a quite a bit broader Kickstarter. So it covers quite a lot of ground. Probably best if I just hit the video. It's only a couple of minutes long. So if you're only listening to this on audio, you only need to skip about a minute and a half ahead. But this covers the full range, and hopefully this will all play and work.
That's it.
Okay.
Wow.
How was that?
That was epic. Epic music. Jeez. Hopefully it doesn't blow any speakers when people play it.
Yeah, so I'm sorry if I've just deafened you. it was turned out to Max.
it was good. There's a fantastic amount of stuff in there, scenery and Blood Bowl teams, and oh my god.
I'm going to quickly stop sharing that, and I'm going to do a share screen just normally, so as I can see you guys still. Okay, cool.
When you talk about 15, you've talked about 15 mil, haven't you? Here,
yeah, absolutely.
Are they going to be in lead? Are they going to be in pewter at 15 mil as well?
No, the 15 mil ones. I just don't know what the market is in the 15
mil. I don't know.
Mil.
Yeah.
So what I've got here, I don't know if you can see that, but I'm printing them up just directly.
Yep.
And you know they'll be sort of sold with supports.
Yep.
Right.
So basically it's trying to see essentially what that market looks like.
Okay.
And you know if it's worth you know if there's a lot of people out there who really want the 15 mil stuff, then certainly I can move over to providing things in 15 mil in pewter. I know that Scotia Grendel is very keen to provide stuff in pewter, but their casting list is just so long that they've not got round to selling stuff. So, I mean they've actually got a range, my Ratmen range. They're going to be selling in pewter at 15 mil already. They've already committed to doing that.
Well, good for them.
So yeah, I mean this is one of those things where if the people come along and they want to buy the stuff, then yeah, there's other ways which it can be provided. But yeah, at the moment it'll be printed from me and I'll be sending that out directly.
Okay, so you're not selling SDLs, or the SDLs are the same, but you're printing at 15 mil and selling them.
Yeah, so basically I'm selling, hang on a second, let's go to that. I'm selling everything. So I'm selling, if we just sort of flick down through the Kickstarter, there's the digital files, which you can buy, and you get the strip mounted and the individually mounted miniatures.
Yep.
All of the strip mounted miniatures have been tested at 10 mil, and all of the individually mounted miniatures have been test printed at 10 mil and 15 mil.
Right.
The 15 mil requires a little bit more attention because it's that little bit bigger. Things which you would get away with on 10 mil, you need to add a support in, or you need to slightly adjust when you go to 15 mil. So it did take a little bit of work to make sure that they were producible at 15 mil. You do have to apply a scaling factor. So if you want to, you know, if you buy the STLs, you'll need to do 150% to pop them out at 15 mil. So that's all of the miniature files all covered. Then the next thing on the...
Look at the amount of stuff.
Full ranges.
So hang on, just go back. I think, was it £45 for all this?
So you get
everything in. What was the price for?
So it's £45 is for the STL files. So that gets you all of the army STL files.
Jeez,
that's the entire army basically, plus all of the unlocks which come along for the army. So at the moment, so when I initially launch, there's one banner for each unit. There's a couple of banners to unlock on the warriors. There's a banner to unlock on the guards, and there's a banner and a hero to unlock on the riders. But yeah, so as stuff unlocks, you'll end up with not just a complete army, but a complete army with additional variety in it. So I mean, as Paul will have seen, there's this guy as as a hero on a beastie, spine beast, but then there's also this fella, and he will be an unlock, and he'll also be an STL file unlock.
Mm-hmm.
Nice. So those are both in pewter, and if you ever have a row with someone at the table, they're a good thing to pop in a sock and wield around your head, because they're quite nice and weighty.
Definitely.
one other miniature to just show you. I haven't got the resin cast for this yet, but that's the Stegosaur.
Yeah, yes. Is he bigger than the kind of other dinosaur you just showed?
That's the two.
Oh yeah, he's a lot bigger.
Yeah, he's 15 centimeters nose to tail.
Yeah.
And that's him on a 60x40 base. So you can see.
That's the official base size. 60
yeah, 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 yeah. He perches above it, so yeah. you're not going to have any problem with him interfering with models, unless you want to have him fighting up against my mammoth. In which case, it might. I have to admit that my mammoth versus this guy, that would be an epic fight, and you might need to find a little side table to pop them on to simulate that one. So that's your STL file B. And then if we come further down, there is the STLs for the there's a lot of stuff there. So yeah, the STL files for the scenery.
so you shared these with me. There must be 100 files in here. I'm just making that up. There seem to be an awful lot of files in the FDM side of things.
Jeez. Yeah. So you got something like 10 Adobe houses.
Why not?
You've got a castle. Oh,
there's a castle. Yeah, sure.
It's got four different corner sections, four different walls, and four different straight towers, and the gate section. There's also some additions which will unlock, which will give you like a broken wall and some sort of corner sections.
So basically, John, what you're saying is that you back this Kickstarter for the files, and you've got an army and a theme table of that army to play it on as well.
Yeah. So the STL files for the army is 45.
Yeah.
If you just want the scenery, that's 20. If you want the army and the scenery together, then that's 60.
Yeah, but still, it's like, well, it's fantastic, because you're taking the Kickstarter, like the idea of it, to the next level, aren't you? It's just like, so here's your army, and here's all the stuff to print off a theme table for it.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, it's brilliant. It's, I've not seen someone do this yet. This is good.
So if I think the reality is, and this is what my wife says to me, is I'm one of the few 12-year-olds who managed to keep their dream alive for their entire life. So, you know, as a 12-year-old, I always wanted that table where it all fitted together, you know, right. You know? So, this is an opportunity to try and sort of bring that to life.
It's fantastic.
So you get this.
Oh, sorry. I see when I was looking through them, you've used the little hook and pin system you had on your walls.
Connect
everything together.
Yeah, yeah.
But if you look at this city walls, there each of those is a different file. Each of those things there.
Yeah, exactly.
There must be 20 of those.
Oh, well, so these are different views of the same. So this is top elevation and a side elevation. But yeah, I mean, you got eight different turrets.
Towers, yeah.
Towers. You got four different walls and a gate. Uh-huh. And it's so that if you were to build the castle and make it four walls wide, four walls deep, then you wouldn't have a repeat wall in any location.
Just, I mean, because what self-respecting builder in the middle of the desert would build the same tower, would they?
Exactly. Like, you know, it's all going to be a bit different.
Yeah, guys, I can't just build the same tower. You know, like, that is ridiculous. Yeah.
So, and then there's the temple.
Here we go.
Which actually I haven't put up all the pictures of the file, so this has got to be added on. But during the flyover in the video, you see the temple from all angles.
Yeah.
And so that's got pylons at each end with four different gods sat on each corner. And then it's got seven gods who are all in a row inside the walls. Each of these wall sections will hold three bases side by side, and that's also true for the side walls on the temple. Originally, I designed the temple so as you could have a unit on the top of each pylon.
Yep.
But then, if you think about it, that means that the temple itself is about 30, 40 centimeters wide, yeah, roughly. But it was too big. It was like, I did print it out and I looked at it, it was like, no, I can't really do this. This is a bit too big. So I shrunk it down a little bit. I mean, you could print it off of that size if you want to. Yeah, it will scale up and it'll look okay. But yeah, it's more sort of designed for that side. These gods and stuff will all be unlocked as the castle, as the campaign goes.
I did actually print off one of the sphinxes on my FDM printer, which is quite a low grade printer, but the print came out pretty well, I've got to be honest. Even on my low grade printer. So I'm very impressed with those.
What's nice about having a sandstone miniature, so a thing which is representing a sandstone statue, is that the lines in a lower quality printer don't matter so much. So if you can print this off at your highest resolution, but what I would recommend that people do is that they try printing it off at a slightly lower resolution, just to see what it looks like, because the time that you save is enormous, and you may find that when you paint it looks nice anyway, because it gives that sort of sandstone-y effect.
Well, yeah, John, we were talking, me and Barry have waxed a lot about about whether you really actually see the finest quality of detail, on prints, really.
Yeah.
I mean, the fact that that it's it's in a higher quality because it comes out and you can see, will you actually notice that? Is like, the jury's still out there, really, if you do. And I think a lot of that is just down subjective.
I think that for many, it's down to how it feels and what it looks like when you're painting it and that hobby side of things. I mean, on the table, when you get into the heat of battle, it's more, is it painted or isn't it? That's what really sort of dictates how things feel.
Mm-hmm. One thing I would say is that I've discovered ironing can quite hide quite a lot of faults, not on your design, but on my printing. So ironing the top layers, especially if you're printing at a lower resolution, can do a lot.
Oh, just to smooth it all out slightly.
Yeah, so it just extrudes a tiny amount of filament and kind of goes across the top and just kind of smooths it out. Because especially if you're printing at 0.2 or something, it can be a little bit ropey on the very top level.
Yeah, absolutely. I've tried to put a little bit of texture on the tops of stuff, so as it's, because you can end up with that very last layer, if it's a completely flat surface, you end up with some elements in it. So when it didn't matter to where you were putting miniatures, I've tried to put a bit of texture on it, so as that's not so obvious. Okay, so then the next thing on the digital files is a little thing which I threw in for the fun of it, which is a football team. So you've got some
just because you had an afternoon off, you thought I'll make a football
why not?
Can I just point out that you've got Cromedy Forge base tags? That is just phenomenal. I love it.
never miss an opportunity to pinch the company.
I used to love those slotter base tags. Paul used to cut them off for his resin bases. I was like, look at them, they're lovely.
So there's a football team here as well, and if you want those guys individually,
what is this guy doing?
He's a thrower.
He doesn't know he's a lizard man yet. They only ever hand the ball off. There's no throwing. They've not told him. They say, "Oh, look, lad, what are you doing throwing that?"
Right. Oh, I see. I got it. Oh, he's thrown the ball. Right. I got it.
Yeah. So he's a mage, and so his magic is throwing the ball for him.
I'll just throw the ball with that.
So the football team is, if you just want the STL files for that, that's £20. But if you buy in the army and the scenery, then you get the football team for free. Or if you buy the army and the football team, you get the scenery for free, whichever way you want to think about it. So £60 gets you all of the STL files I'm selling.
Brilliant. Wow.
You should be aware that, depending on what sort of printer you've got. So if you've got an FDM printer, you probably just want to get the scenery files. And if you've got a resin printer, then, some of the scenery files will print out in resin. But the football team certainly will. But if you've got both, then, pitch in for the whole lot.
Yep, Barry's got both. Yep.
So I need to just mention that how into the snake cult thing I am. I love that theme. I mean, there was a bit of Conan, isn't it? That kind of James Earl Jones.
Yeah. They were a snake cult, weren't they? They were like two snakes looking at each other in that.
Yeah. I mean, it was a thing. Paul Yates, the guy who did the artwork for this, and we had great conversations about Egypt and about, you know, trying to cross over the Egyptian lizards with the theme of the army. So I mean, actually, all of the lizards are based on Egyptian lizards. And then he came up with some really beautiful images. As the first few things which he put together were things which ended up on the shields, and they basically just got these the three different elements of a snake. One of them coiled around, one of them as a sort of a swooping pattern, and one of them with two heads. And so those three images just kept on ploughing them back through the whole theme of the army. So you see them in so many different aspects. They appear on shields, they appear on banners. I'm going to struggle to find them now. Yeah, so that's one with shield.
Yeah,
it's real pain with the resolution on Kickstarter. But yeah, you can see the banners here.
I have a question for you. Would these files that you've done for 10 and 15 mil, will they scale to 28 mil? Have you considered that?
You can print them out at 28 mil. So another name drop I need to make is to Bucky, and I'm going to get his second name badly wrong, Skomolski. I'm really sorry if I've got your name wrong. He's been doing my test printing for me over in the States. Mm-hmm. And he did print them out in 28 mil, and he says he loves them. I've done a couple of dwarfs in 28 mil. I'm looking for them in my... on my cabinet now. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to be able to find them now.
If they come out good at 28 mil, I mean, that opens up the biggest market going.
They look chibi. Right. So their hands and their heads are big.
Yeah.
So one of the main things that you'll notice if you look at the team is that the head size comparison to the rest of the body is significantly smaller than for a 10 mil model.
Okay.
Let me get a little bit techie. The reason why we do this in sculpting is that in order for you to be able to produce a weapon which isn't just going to immediately break when you look at it, you need to create weapons which are at least a millimeter across, usually 1.5 to 2 millimeters across. When you look at what that would mean in real life, it would mean that people were holding spears that looked like telegraph poles. In order to make that work, you need to make the hand bigger so as the hand can hold the spear.
Can hold it, yep.
Now, if the hand is bigger, it will look massively disproportionate unless the head is also bigger. So you have to then swell the head up to match the hand, which also means the feet need to get bigger. So the hand, the head, and the feet all need to grow so as the weapon is strong enough to actually work in a real physical world.
Yeah, I can understand that, yeah.
And that's actually the core of heroic scale, and it really sort of plays out even in 28 mil. There's a distortion, but when you get down to 10 mil, that distortion needs to be consequentially bigger. So that's the long story.
But just to point there, because this range is not human, so they are fantasy beasts. Well, they got big heads, you know, like you're not comparing it, like you're not scaling up like an Empire guy, like to 28 mil scale, which might look, as you say, chibi, but this is a race. They could look however you want them to look.
I think that there's certainly something which might appeal to the role-playing community.
Yeah.
You just want to, sort of blast out a bunch of stuff for a campaign. And if you wanted to, put together an army to, just quickly, bosh, there you go, there's a full army and all of your miniatures for 45 bucks, then off you go. It's very doable. The dwarfs, I printed some out at 32 mil. I can't see them around me at the moment, but they do look chibi, but to me it's quite adorable. It's a fun look.
But whatever look you end up with, if the whole army is that look, then
it, yeah, 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 look, then it's, isn't it?
yeah,
yeah.
Yeah. Cool. Sorry, carry on.
But okay, John was just explaining that they're not necessarily the same thing, 28 mil and smaller miniatures. Yeah. And that if you ever see somebody claiming that maybe the range can do both, that may be a bit of a stretch.
I think that the biggest problem is if you design something for 28 mil and then you shrink it down, then you run into the physical problems of the weapons being very brittle and very easy to break, especially if you're 3D printing. You know, I mean, actually 3D printing, the scale change, you need to be aware of it. I was a bit naive when I was sort of going, oh yeah, I can go from 10 to 15 mil, it'll be relatively easy. And the number of problems I ran into whilst I was doing my test prints is like, oh, hang on, no, I need to really think about, you know, supports I did quite a bit of remodeling on the miniatures to get them better in 15 mil, which consequently actually has a benefit in the 10 mil because it means you need, it is better supported and you actually have fewer supports in the 10 mil because you can put things into a better design system. Okay, so that's all the digital files minus the unlocks. In the physical files, it's basically the same concept, same pricing as I did on my last Kickstarter. So basically, what you do is you buy a series of tokens. In this case, it's scarabs. So you buy scarabs as in the Kickstarter, and then you spend the scarabs to buy the different units. And so, you know, you've got warriors and almost everything is one scarab. The only difference is that the stegosaurus beast obviously has got to be a little bit more. I've made him two scarabs. He's definitely going to be more expensive when he gets to, as is the spine beast. At the moment, he's only, he effectively is £9 plus discounts. So this guy is £18. They will be more expensive when they hit my website, just because at the moment, that's not a million miles off the production cost.
That's a lot of models.
At the moment, the Stegosaurus is the one model which I haven't had a physical cast in my hand. So what I've said is,
how do the guys in the back even get up there?
he kneels down.
He kneels down. Right. Still, it's like, that's quite an achievement to get on that thing.
They'll use ropes or something, haven't they? Or magic.
Magic, yeah.
Everything.
Magic, yeah.
Well, no,
magic to throw a ball, they'll magic themselves up there.
He walks alongside the... hang on a second, I'll show you.
Oh, the other walls, and then they jump off.
Exactly. He walks alongside the castle... alongside the castle parapet, and then they just jump on.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, silly question.
So I said that on this one, it's the only one I haven't physically had my cast from the caster. The mold is in production, and it's you know, I'm anticipating to get one probably next week. But what I said, because I'm not 100% certain the mold is going to work, is that I will either print this or you will get the mold. So if the mold's up and running, no worries. If it's not up and running, then I'll just be printing a bunch of these off for the buyers.
So is that are you looking at more than one piece for that Stegosaurus in resin?
So the head, the tail are separate, and the body is in one section. I did that both for printing, so I wanted to make sure that even someone who's got a really dinky print bed will be able to get the whole, you know, not necessarily the whole thing in one go, but you'll be able to get every element onto an even dinky print bed. So as long as you can handle 8 centimeters, I think it is, in fact it's less than that, it's only 6 centimeters, as long as you've got a 6 centimeter print bed, you'll be all right. And I don't think that there are, you know, you're talking about a very, very small,
that's like a matchbox.
exactly. So you should be good. But also for casting, because of all the spikes on it, and this is something, you know, Paul Yates came up with an absolutely gorgeous design here, but I think Barry, you can recognize looking at it, thing with that many spikes on it is not great for casting. So, you know, I had to break it up a little bit just to make it castable. So the castable version, the howdahs on the side come off as well. Mm-hmm. And then the tail and the head are separate. Whereas for the printable version, I've been able to incorporate the howdahs into the model itself. Actually, it's something which isn't always sort of visible from the side. If you look at it from above, there's the two baskets on each side of it.
You can see, yeah.
Which you can get arches into as well. Okay, so, and then you come down to the heroes. I think I've got, this is the general sitting on a wee palanquin.
Yep.
Palanquin. So you got the heroes. Again, as with previous Kickstarters, this is somewhere where I'm looking to do unlocks. So there's a bunch of unlocks which will be associated with the heroes, which will unlock in the digital and in the physical models at the same time. And then you're down into the 15 mil stuff. I haven't actually finished that element of the Kickstarter yet. Yep. So there's some elements missing from there. That's the Kickstarter.
Fantastic.
Total.
So John, from concept, an original idea, like I'm gonna do and put some time and work into this, to this stage of it gonna go live, how much time are you talking about? Are you saying 4 or 5 months?
I got going on this one in June 2020.
Yeah.
So 7 months of elapsed time.
Yeah. Fantastic.
But during that time, I've also released the Dwarf Army I've been doing a few other bits and bobs my existing
armies. Because certainly this is the stuff that me and Barry like can say like on this kind of thing. So you've got a Lisman range here, complete range.
Oh, absolutely.
Now, currently, there's obviously GW's originals and then Eureka make a range.
Good.
Before,
when it was only GW or Eureka, you were buying Eureka stuff because I bought some. Because what else are you going to buy?
Yeah, exactly. And this is a market that is not oversaturated. This is a range, as in terms of Litterman. So yeah, I can see it doing really well. I mean, if your dwarves did really well, and that is a well trodden market, people come and tell me how much they like that range. This is, I think, it's doing really well personally.
I'm fingers crossed about it. I have, you know, myself and Paul Yates here, we've taken quite a step out from existing designs which exist in the world at the moment. So we've gone out on a limb on the design side to come up with something as original as we could envisage. Both because that's just a fun thing to do. Yeah. We both wanted to do something which was, you know, fun, interesting, and different. And also because it means that you get something which has a coherent and a completely different flavor to other stuff. Yeah. I know that there are, you know, there's probably some people out there who would rather just have the things which look like something which they're used to. So I guess I'm just hoping that there's enough desire in the community to try something different an original looking army on the table.
I think definitely, personally.
Are you able to stop sharing the screen now?
Yeah, of course. Okay? Yeah. No worries.
Good. So that is an amazing feat of engineering, sir.
I've seen
some of the 3D sculpts firsthand, because I've been printing some out, and some of the quality of the sculpting is you are getting better and better, sir. I have to say,
thank you very much.
What are we calling them? What do you call them? I mean, in the GW terms, I'm sure they're temple guard. What do you call them? House guard or something? Is it house guard?
The guards of Apep.
Guard of Apep. Oh my god,
they got halberd ears, haven't they?
Yes, the big halberds.
I think, are they the guy that's got the because in the old GW stuff, there was a high elf variant command strip that had a guy with a horse in the middle of the
spearman.
Nobody's going to answer the phone. I'm going to answer. So, and the, the you, It's not, it's like a, what could you say? It's a doffing your cap.
Definitely. Where
there's a cold
definitely
riding lizard that just looks absolutely brilliant. Because he's got his little dinosaur stumpy hands. It's just fantastic.
There are some things which have been done in War Master strips, which I remember when I bought them. And there's the thing about 10 mil is you're so focused in when you're painting, you're so focused in and on what you're doing. And then all of a sudden you just have that, holy shit, there's this. and there are a couple of moments, and yeah, I mean there was definitely a high elf guy on a horse in the GW stuff.
In the middle
stuff.
Of the spearman, just riding around in the middle of the spearman.
And I remember the feeling of seeing it and just going, that's just mental. I thought, yeah, gonna have to borrow from that.
Yeah, well, exactly. Why not?
I'm
surprised that idea wasn't repeated in more of their ranges, to be honest.
I think it would have lost its impact if everybody had one.
I suppose. Okay, fair enough.
Yeah, I think it's a thing which if you overplay that card, then it becomes tired. But yeah, I figure I'm on my fifth army now. I can probably slip one in and hopefully people enjoy that.
No, I definitely did. I spotted that straight away. But the sculpting is just getting crazier and crazier, and I know that. I mean, you see people on Thingiverse sharing stuff, and then they're not charging for it. But I mean, the difference in sculpting between someone like you that it's a profession and somebody else that maybe it's not a profession. I'm completely dumbstruck when I look at it. I think, how many hours is this taking you to create like a range like this? This must be hundreds of hours, must be.
Hundreds. Well, as Robbie, my caster, says, minimum wage is an aspiration.
Unless you're an Uber driver.
Yeah, you're not doing this for the love of the money.
No. The cold one riders, if we're like the equivalent, they're riding triceratops. That's fantastic. I didn't notice that. They're like little triceratops. Yeah.
Yeah, the ceratope riders. Yeah. There's a thing. My daughter's favourite dinosaur is a Parasaurolophus. Okay. It's the one with the great big horn on the back of its head.
Yeah.
And it's got this really interesting gait where it's sort of halfway between a biped and a quadruped.
Yep.
So almost all of its weight is over its hips.
Yep.
But its hands can touch the ground if it needs to, but it can also go high up.
Yep.
And you'll see both in the Stegosaurus and the Ceratope riders that sort of hip heavy.
Yeah, I see it.
Because it gives a sense of motion and a dynamism to the beast, which it can be kind of lacking from quadruped. So it gives it sort of a sense of movement. I think.
It's Dino Riders from the desert, isn't it? It's just like,
yeah, absolutely, yeah, absolutely.
Here we are. It's like running over. Forget the jungle. Don't need that. Yeah, we are from the desert, and I love it. Yeah, it's the same, Barry. Like, again, compliment you. It's the shields designs. So the shields all have embossed detail on there.
Yeah.
And that, you can paint it or you can not if you wanted to, but they are all there. These embossed designs. It's so far from just plain shields that you're going to need to paint a rune or something on yourself. It is, the detail is there. You just need to dry brush it, for example, and bring it out.
Yeah. I guess I sculpt for what I used to like as a painter. There's times when you want to paint shield designs, but for the majority of your rank and file,
this strip I have here, two of the guys or three of the guys of the five are holding their shields down by their side.
Yeah.
Walking them forward, you would struggle so much to get your own design onto that shield if you want. And the uniformity, and a lot of us are like, with gamers are like, oh, if I'm going to do something, I have to do it completely. So that would be really difficult to do. But I'm impressed.
Yeah, bit of contrast paint on that, and it should come up.
Oh, brutal.
A joy.
Yeah.
No, DNA Studios, who are doing all of my the painting for this army, they've just knocked it out of the park with this. I mean, it's on the Kickstarter and it's on the video as well. But they knocked it out of the park with the stuff which they've put together on this. And there's such a joy when because they send out the miniatures in a little box. Donald sends these little boxes back up to me. And it's just joy just opening it up and seeing this thing which you created yourself. You sculpted it in 3D world. Yeah. You printed it and you print, you know, someone cast it. You send it off to some chappy who paints it. And it comes back and just, oh, final product. Oh, it's glorious. It's lovely.
Brilliant.
He's a very talented painter as well. He's painted some ogres and stuff for me, and demons. Yeah, very talented. Yeah.
And his turnaround time is obscene. Yeah, I mean, I've really dropped him in it on this one because obviously with COVID and a lot of snow up here, I've been getting my cast a little closer to the Kickstarter than I normally like. So. Yeah, sort of sending in miniatures. Any chance you could get something back to me next week? done.
But I think he's available for commission if people want to
reach
out to him.
Absolutely.
Good stuff.
Mm-hmm. So the models are all, as I say, with the exception of the Stegosaurus, all of the models I have, you know, metal in hand. So the production casts are ready to roll. So I will be doing my first cast run about midway through the Kickstarter, depending on how well it funds and how many people are sort of interested. So as with previous Kickstarters, if you're buying physical models, I may be sending you an email halfway through saying, can you give me a rough idea of what you're after so I can get the first production done? Which means that by the time...
I love the productions done when the Kickstarter's done. It's like, it took me like 2 years.
My ideal aim is that I give myself 2 weeks after the Kickstarter to just gather stuff together and sort it and start packaging it up. And I like to get my first boxes out within 2 weeks of the end of the Kickstarter, two or three weeks.
I mean, you're in going and recommending your other Kickstarters as in terms of that is exactly what you've done in terms of like before. It's just like, oh, it's now funded and now I've got it in the mail.
So you'll have the stuff in your hands before we can play again.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, great. When you compare it to some Kickstarters where you're just like, okay, it's funded and I'll see it at some point in the future.
Or maybe, like, maybe
you know, and it's like in yours, it's like, oh, it's already here, actually. Yeah, like it's brilliant. You set the standard. You set the gold standard, basically.
What I like to do is to try and get stuff to people as soon as I can. It's the way that I would like to receive stuff. It's not necessarily exactly what Kickstarter is there for.
Yeah.
But it, for me, Kickstarter is just it's a way of getting a range to the point where it's paid for itself.
As quickly as possible. But it's the promotion with this range that you've done here. So you're covering three different scales, actually, in terms of, because the Blood Bowl team is a separate thing. So it's going to get advertised on the Warmaster sites. It's going to get advertised on other mini miniatures, mini hammer, that kind of stuff, because it's 15 mil. You could try. And then it's also that Blood Bowl team is going to get interest from Blood Bowl players. Some Blood Bowl players are fanatics or just collecting everything. And then there's the scenery as well. This is smart. You can see that you're learning, like, of how to adapt your product, your brand, and it's like, and it is okay, and then it like, and you're broadening your horizons in way that it can be done. It's very impressive. It's cool. It's really cool.
Thank you very much. I mean, the other way of putting it is it's a bit of a scattergun approach, and I'm just, you know.
It's being smart, isn't it? Because I don't, you know, obviously so once you created your, what's the right term, but your basic frame of, okay, a Saurus warrior. Okay, this is my Saurus warrior, and this is him at 10 mil, and this is him at 15 mil, and this is him as a Blood Bowl player as well. Because I've got the basics down, and it's like, right, and there is market for that. People will back your Kickstarter to get that Blood Bowl team. They will.
I think I hope so. I hope that people enjoy,
because it's there. It's just like in terms of like going a little with the blubber team. So GW recently, fairly recently, did a Lizerman plastic team. You know, this is a different look. This isn't a version of theirs, and you're not gonna, and then you're, and people will be tied into what GW tell them it is. And this is a different look of Lizerman. It's like they're Lizerman from a desert, not a jungle.
And I think that's thank you. Absolutely. And I think that is exactly why, or another element to why it's so good to have been able to come up with something with Paul, which is very different. Because it allows you to then cover that whole range without just mowing other people's lawns. You're creating something which is original.
Yeah. Exactly.
Cool. Right. Mm-hmm. So let's keep our fingers crossed for you, sir. I can't imagine that it won't fund. Let's hope it funds many times.
I hope I make the 500.
If you only get 500, that's like a pound an hour, fella.
Jesus, yeah. John, I'll give
you. And that's without molding costs.
Yeah, if you've got, it's the end of the Kickstarter and you've got no funding, I'll just give it to you. there you go.
If it doesn't fund, I'll give up War Master.
Fingers crossed.
we'll keep it. We'll talk about it when we get the chance on the podcast. It kicks off. When does it kick off, sir?
It kicks off
5 days time. 5 days.
Yeah, on the 25th of February. It'll be running for 3 weeks.
Perfect time.
So the middle of March.
Yep.
Okay. Good stuff, John. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you very much.
Okay. We'll see you next time.
All right. See you next time.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Good night.
Would you like to know more?